What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hey, you've made it. That's right. It is Friday, April 22nd, 2016. We are so honored that you have allowed Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon once again. Folks, we will be taking your calls throughout this entire hour. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And we decided to dedicate today's show in honor of course, the man, the myth, the legend, the icon, Prince. That's right. Prince, of course, as you all know, passed away yesterday morning. Such an eerie day on yesterday's show as we got the news 5 minutes before we hit the air. We are dedicating the show to Prince, and we would like for you to call in and give your favorite Prince memory. And also, I want to know what your favorite Prince song is as well, all right? So call in 517-355-9527. In the midst of all of the Prince talk, we, of course, will talk sports as the Detroit Red Wings are no longer chasing the cup. That's right, they were eliminated at the hands of the Tampa Bay Lightning on the road down in Florida last night. And we will discuss how that happened and where the Wings must go from here. We will also give you guys a preview of tonight's Game 3 of the NBA playoffs between the Detroit Pistons and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The series now returns to Michigan here. For the first time in 7 years, the Palace of Auburn Hills will host a playoff game. How cool is that, right? So we'll give you guys a preview of Game 3. We'll also update you on Current Sports TV. If you missed last night's Current Sports TV sit-down with Brandi Agee, MSU women's basketball star, you get to hear that chat and so much more. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners again for this Friday, April 22nd. All right, and we begin with the Detroit Red Wings. They, of course, were eliminated from the Stanley Cup playoffs yesterday at Amalie Arena, at Tampa Bay. And the Wings, man, they outplayed the Lightning for much of the night, really, but with only 1 minute and 43 seconds left in the third period, Red Wing goaltender Peter Mrazek misplayed a puck behind the net that was intercepted by Tampa's Ryan Callahan and passed out in front of Alex Killorn for the goal. Now, the Lightning won the game 1-0, took the series 4-1. The Wings only getting one game out that series. This marks the third straight year that the Detroit Red Wings have been eliminated in the first round of the playoffs. Lightning goaltender Ben Bishop was a brick wall. 34 saves for him, including three breakaways in the second period. And as mentioned, we will break down what took place in that game last night and what must the Wings do to shake off the first round elimination woes. All right, folks, coming off the 107-90 loss to the Cleveland Cavaliers on Wednesday night, the Detroit Pistons returned to the Palace to try to get one on the board in the series. Quote, "We've just got to win tomorrow at home," Pistons coach Stan Van Gundy said yesterday. "It's not about salvaging anything. We get a win tomorrow night, we are right back in the series. This is the Pistons' first home game since April 26, 2009. That's 2,553 days. Yes, we've been counting. Which also happened to be the finale of a four-game sweep by the Cavs in a first-round series. Tip-off tonight is set for 7 p.m. The game can be seen on ESPN or the local coverage on Fox Sports Detroit. Yesterday, Detroit Pistons coach Stan Van Gundy also said that he met with rookie Stanley Johnson about his comments on LeBron James following Wednesday night's loss. Now, Johnson said after the game he was definitely in James's head. This despite the fact that James was 6-for-6 against Johnson while finishing with 27 points. Van Gundy went on to say this on Thursday's media availability. Quote, "I had a talk with Stan today, and so I'll leave it at that. I told him what I thought about his comments and everything. That's a discussion that we had today. I'm not fining him or doing anything like that. They're grown men and they talk to the media and the whole thing. But I wanted to let him know where my concerns were. And so we talked about it. I thought it was good and I thought that he understood and received it well," end quote. All right, Portland Trail Blazers guard CJ McCollum has been named the NBA's most improved player. Now, McCollum, who was selected 10th overall in the 2013 draft, received 101 first-place votes and 559 points in balloting among sports writers and broadcasters throughout the United States and, yes, Canada. Now, McCollum's scoring average jumped from 6.8 points per game during the 2014-15 season to 20.8 points per game this year. That is quite the leak. So congratulations to CJ. Well deserving, in my opinion. All right, the Detroit Tigers fell to the Kansas City Royals yesterday, 4-0. Tigers pitcher Mike Pelfrey struggled. He gave up 4 runs, 3 earned, on 8 hits and 5 walks in 5 innings. Now, the Royals broke the game open in the 4th inning. Omar Infante led off with a double and scored on a sac fly. Mike Moustakas followed with a 424-foot homer to dead center. Unbelievable, folks. After a walk and single, the Royals attempted a double steal. Tigers catcher Jared Solitamakia, his throw to third eluded Castellanos, and Kansas scored their 4th run. The loss wrapped up an 8-game road trip, which the Tigers finished 4-4, so .500 there. The Tigers now start a 3-game series with the Cleveland Indians tonight, starting at 7:10 p.m. Chicago Cubs pitcher Jake Arrieta threw a no-hitter yesterday against the Cincinnati Reds, his second in less than a year. Absolutely on fire. After pitching his second career no-no, Arrieta is 15-0 with a .53 ERA and 16 starts dating back to August 1st. That's lights out. That includes a no-hitter at Dodger Stadium on August 30th of 2015, which is his second feed in 11 regular season starts. Magnificent. Michigan State's athletic department finalized a 15-year agreement on Thursday with Fox Sports for the school's multimedia rights. Now, the deal is worth, reportedly, more than $150 million. And the Michigan State spring football game takes place tomorrow at Spartan Stadium. The intra-squad game with green and white team features drafted by seniors, I should say. The game will kick off at 3 p.m. at Spartan Stadium, and parking and admission is totally free. Without further ado, let's start the show.
Schuster, it's knocked down. Tatar got it back. A tip right on. Bishop said no. Off center. Brought out by Ryan Callahan off the boards all the way back down. Mrazek, a soft clear. Callahan in front. They score! Alex Killorn on the doorstep. And finally, Tampa Bay breaks the ice.
Well, there's been no shortage of chances tonight.
Attempt to close it out. 5.7 on the clock. Green, a shot off a body going down. Callahan, off Bishop. That'll do it. Tampa Bay marches on.
Ah, yes, and that is how we start today's current sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin, and I'm sure many of you are just like myself, still a bit hungover from yesterday's news concerning musical icon Prince. And the news of his death, of course, that occurred yesterday morning. Still a bit numb from it. You know, we've seen the coverage. I actually sat back and watched on my television all night after I got off work. All of the Prince tributes and interviews from those who knew him, friends of his, those who played alongside him in his band. And even, musical legends who were very close or at least inspired by what Prince did throughout his body of work that dates back to the early 80s. Really, really crazy stuff. And I saw which was a really cool moment. I saw a moment in New York at the Apollo Theater out there where they just played Prince's music and they had individuals out there, you know, putting things on the ground next to the Apollo Theater in commemoration for Prince. And also, I saw Spike Lee on his social media page invite everyone out to his home. And Spike actually threw an impromptu Prince listening party outside of his apartment. And everyone just wilded out for like the entire night. And CNN's Anderson Cooper interviewed Spike Lee. And I kid you not, there were about 5,000 people in back of Spike just listening to Prince's music. Unbelievable tributes that are still continuing to roll in. And just an odd day, an eerie day. No one saw that coming, and he certainly will be missed. And we want to dedicate today's show in honor of the icon known as Prince. And I want you all to call in and give a Prince memory, you know. And I really want to hear from those, you know, I want to hear from everybody. Don't get me wrong, but I want to hear from those, at least one caller, you know, someone who grew up in the 80s when Prince really started to gain some traction. Because I always hear, you know, I became, and it's funny, I was having a chat with one of our listeners yesterday. And we were talking about, you know, the impact that Prince had, right? And we were chatting, and he's like, Al, you're 25 years old. What in the world do you know about Prince? And I had told him that, you know, my dad was very well-versed when it comes to music. My dad, actually, growing up, and this is how he met my mom. My dad was, you know, he tried to become a musical artist when he was growing up. He was well-versed. He can play the guitar, keyboard, and even had his own studio, which he still does at his home. And he tried to get his musical career off the ground, and he traveled to Los Angeles one summer, and that's where he met my mom. My mom is from Trinidad and Tobago, and my mom and my grandparents, they decided to move to the United States of America because they wanted a better life, better opportunities here. So they moved to L.A., and they were there for a bit, and my dad happened to be out there, and he meets my mom in the store, and boom, magic happened, right? My dad brought her back to brought my mother back to Detroit, and, you know, there we go. Al Martin was born. But, you know, my dad being so well-versed in music, you know, growing up, my dad always educated me on the greats of the music industry past. And in my house, you heard Prince. You know, I heard Michael Jackson. I heard Stevie, Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan. I mean, Seal. I could go on and on and on. You know, I'm a big hip-hop guy, but I always pride myself in saying that I don't just listen to just one genre. I can listen to anything. And my dad was always a big Prince guy and respected what Prince did for the music industry and culturally as well. And, you know, Prince, you know, being one of the few artists you can name that can play 27 instruments. 27 instruments. Unbelievable stuff. So, I was engaging in conversation with one of our listeners, and we were just, you know, I told him, you know, yeah, my dad, he's the one that brought me up on Prince. And my dad would always tell me that growing up, you know, and seeing that phenomenon in the 80s when Prince hit the scene was unlike anything. So I want you guys to call in, give a Prince memory, give your favorite Prince song. And again, if you grew up in the 80s, what was it like when Prince hit the scene? I'm curious. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And before moving forward here, Magic Johnson, of course, was in town because of the Lansing Promise scholarship campaign that he has been so heavily involved in. And of course, they were raising money with the banquet at the Lansing Center yesterday. And I got a chance to head out there and ask Magic a question or two on the second floor of the Lansing Center before the event kicked off officially that night. And how cool was last night? I mean, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Earth, Wind, and Fire were in the house as the 9 p.m. Musical guest that Magic had promised. So very cool stuff. Just... Man, you talk about Earth, Wind, and Fire, musical legends, right? And, you know, Magic, again, before everything, you know, popped off, he took some time, about 30 minutes or so, to address the media. And yes, you better believe that, you know, Magic was a staple of the 80s. He's an icon in his own right when you discuss that era. And he was pretty close with Prince. He was a friend of Prince. And Magic actually weighed in on the death of Prince. And here's what he had to say during yesterday's press conference.
Well, Prince and I go back, I mean, all the way to Minnesota before he was this Prince, this big Prince, you know. We used to shoot baskets in Minnesota when we were coming in there playing the Timberwolves, and I met Prince, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis all at the same time. He's performed so many times for functions like this that, you know, or just concerts. I follow Prince all over. Two artists I follow was Michael Jackson and Prince, because we all became friends, but also too, I just love music. And we're gonna get a big kick tonight too about one of my other friends performing tonight. And so when I think about Prince, just a genius. The guy just, I haven't seen one artist that could play about every instrument. The guy was just unbelievable. And then you would book him, like they would say, okay, I'm gonna book you for an hour and a half. Prince would play for 3 hours. Then he would go, we would go to the concert, he'd perform. Then he would get into a little club. So the concert was over by 11. He would go to a club at 12, have his band come, and then play another 3 hours. And he just loved to perform. And we used to do that all the time in LA, House of Blues after that, you know, after he performed at the Forum or at the Staples Center or somewhere. And he really believed in the fans. When he got upset at the Ticketmasters and all of them, and he started saying, okay, I don't want that surcharge, charging the fans all that money. So he started doing tickets a different way. So the fans didn't have to pay, you know, all that money to come see him play. I remember, Anthony, what was it, 25 shows and 25 nights at the Forum. Unbelievable. And I was there probably 20 nights. And it was just, he is just unbelievable. You know, he was a good man. He was smart. He was funny, especially when you get him in private. And we just had a lot of laughs, but also deep at the same time. So you get be laughing at one moment with him, and then all of a sudden, he has this deep conversation with you, you know. And so we're gonna miss him. The fans are gonna miss him. Yeah, it was when I heard that, I just couldn't believe it, you know. And so life is something, you know. And I'm glad I got a chance to know him, but also admire his music. And I'm happy I still got all this. Some of us older people like myself, we still got albums, you know?
eight tracks
and all of that. See, when you talk about Lansing, yes, 8 tracks with cassettes, reel to reel.
So again, that was, of course, Lansing and basketball legend Irvin Magic Johnson, as he took some time to talk to us media members before the Lansing Promise Scholarship Banquet, which was held at the Lansing Center yesterday, last night to be exact. And, of course, Magic weighing in on the death of Prince and the relationship they shared. And, yeah, back in the day when they had albums. You know, it's interesting, though, Isaac. I want to invite Isaac Constance to the show right now, our fantastic engineer. And, you know, it's crazy how vinyl was making a comeback, though. I know you are a big connoisseur of that. You actually are the one who hit me to this whole phenomenon. But it's so crazy how things come back. And I always think, you know, when looking back, at vinyl and records and whatnot. It's so amazing, though, watching the record stores. They had a feature on record stores yesterday about how as soon as the news was announced that Prince had passed away, people were immediately flocking to record stores, buying up all of his famed albums and some of his records and just cleaning out things in stock. And I'm curious, because I know you're a big record player yourself. Did you go out and buy any Prince albums yesterday?
Didn't buy any. I actually went out and looked for some this morning, and obviously, they were all bereft of Prince albums because, like you mentioned, everybody flocked to those stores. Who didn't right. want a Prince album? Now, fortunately, actually 8 months ago, I had bought Purple Rain. So
really?
Before going to sleep last night, I listened to Purple Rain in my headphones while, you know, fading off. And gosh, I mean, what a way to end the night, pretty much. It was so fitting and so appropriate because I did want to pay my respects to Prince, and I looked up Purple Rain. I looked up and actually purchased a few other albums on Amazon when I saw that they couldn't be purchased via record stores. So, yeah, it is great that it's making a comeback in terms of albums. But, gosh, listening to Purple Rain on vinyl last night, that was cathartic, man.
Gosh. That had to be pretty cool, and he will be missed. All right. And also, before we move forward, you know, a lot of people don't know, to bring a sports angle to this thing, other than Magic Johnson commenting on it, Prince was a pretty good basketball player as well.
Yep.
Pretty good basketball player. I see here, this is an article via Yahoo Sports that profiles Prince when he was, he played on the basketball team at Bryant Junior High during his days out in Minnesota. And his basketball coach, Richard Robinson, said he was, quote, an excellent ball handler who could have been a starter on another squad. And we all know about this famous Dave Chappelle skit that is now legendary, which Charlie Murphy, Eddie Murphy's brother, recounted playing a pickup game with Prince and his group back in the 1980s. And you know, I always flashback because that skit is one of my favorite of the Chappelle show. It's legendary.
Yeah, it is the best Chappelle show skit, if you ask me. I watched that last night because last night I had my total fit of nostalgia when it came to Prince.
Right.
So I watched that. And then my other favorite sports connection with Prince is the Super Bowl performance.
Oh, that's the greatest Super Bowl performance of all time.
It is. And yeah. They showed a documentary yesterday on NFL.com about Prince's performance then. And my favorite thing, this is so Prince. Prince was told 20 minutes before the show, and it never rains during Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
He was told, it's going to be raining during your set. And they described how treacherous and how hazardous the performance would be with it raining. He's got electric guitars,
right,
huge light
right.
shows.
He's like,
got
let it rain.
Dancers, yeah, dancers with 8-inch heels. And he says, in response to that warning, can you make it rain harder?
Exactly.
That
right.
is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
That's Prince. Prince was the coolest cat to ever walk the earth, dude. Rest in peace. He will certainly be missed. All right, as you heard in our beginning montage, mixed with I Will Die For You, of course, the Detroit Red Wings. They are no longer competing for Lord Stanley. That's right. The Red Wings were eliminated officially by the Tampa Bay Lightning out in Tampa. 5-game series, the Wings were only able to accrue one win throughout this series, and just really a culmination of what we've already seen in the past, in the prior 4 games leading up to that one. You know, when you look at just the overall production in this series for the Wings, Henrik Zetterberg had 1 goal in the series. Pavel Datsyuk, who, you know, maybe the last time we see him in a Detroit Red Wings uniform, the magic is has certainly left the building, at least for now, because he wants to go back and retire and go back to Russia, his native land, and play there. But Pavel Datsyuk had no points at all in this series. Gustav Nyquist finished the series with 1 goal. The 3rd straight spring, he has failed to produce in the playoffs. And Tomas Tatar had 3 assists, but no goals. Just a culmination of what we've seen all series, Isaac. I mean, this is a team that certainly had opportunities. I wanted to let it be known, it's not like the Wings were getting completely blown out each and every game throughout this series. It was pretty competitive throughout much of it. But again, when it comes to moments in which you got to have goals and you got to have responses, the Wings just could not get it done. And they didn't take advantage of opportunities, frankly. I mean, they were handed a great opportunity to score. As when, you know, when they got 114 with 2 extra skaters, 4 minutes into the game, you know what I mean? I just couldn't believe how, when they had 2 extra skaters early on in that game, and you're sitting there saying, okay, this is when the Wings have to strike something here. Nothing happened at all. And even with that much of an advantage, again, two extra skaters, even with that much of an advantage, the Wings passed, and Brian Boyle, he blocked the pucks that were fired toward Ben Bishop, and great protection for Ben Bishop during that time. And really the best opportunity came from Pavel Datsyuk, who had a backhand go near the post, which didn't find the back of the net at all. But, you know, it was just a synopsis of what we've seen all series, though. Isaac, they were given golden opportunities, but just those opportunities were squandered. Simple as that.
It is that simple. And the Detroit Red Wings once again led in shot production in this game, I think by 10, in fact. And it just came down at the end of the day to a rookie error by Peter Mrazek. He shouldn't have came out of the net for that puck. And moreover, you just have to be careful with your distribution, especially when you're removed from your main job to protect from any goals. And obviously that didn't happen, but that's a rookie sophomoric error. You can live with that. What you can't live with is the continued squandering of chances, like you mentioned, the wastefulness of Red Wings players because they had 4 breakaway chances last night, weren't able to convert any. 4 power plays. And once again, as is the story of this series, you can't convert that either. So it was just a series where you look at it, it's a 4-1 series, so easily could be 3-2 in either team's favor right now.
Right. And again, they took 34 shots on Ben Bishop. So they, you know, they definitely were aggressive in this game, but man, it's just like nothing went their way. Now, you know, and you talk about taking advantage of opportunities. I mean, there was a clear opportunity for the Wings to make this thing competitive. I mean, again, last year they went 7 games against the Lightning. But if you put into context how before this series took place that the Lightning were missing captain Steve Stamkos and leading goal scorer Anton Strahlman, you're sitting there saying, okay, that at least gives the Wings a chance. And they certainly had a chance in this series. And I can only imagine. Okay, it was a close series, and I thought about this last night watching. It was a close series throughout this entire series. But if you think of Anton Strahlman and Steve Stamkos and what those two bring to the Tampa Bay Lightning, if those two would have played, man, I can't help but wonder, maybe it would have been ugly. It would have been ugly. So the Wings did get lucky, I think, in that respect, Isaac.
Yeah, it would have been 4-0, I think, if the Red Wings had faced a full-strength Lightning team. The other thing that I look towards is Tyler Johnson yesterday was absent for most of the game. And he came into this series very banged up, questionable, just about day in, day out. But yesterday we saw him with a long absence on the ice. And I mean, the Red Wings, again, weren't able to capitalize on it. And he wasn't the one who scored the winning goal or anything. But at the same time, if this was a full strength Lightning team, they will have been a clear 1 seed. This team more performed like a 4 seed, and the Red Wings certainly performed like an 8 seed.
So the question now remains here, Isaac, is what must the Wings do this offseason in order to put themselves in position to compete, legitimately compete, to go deep in the playoffs and contest for a cup? And, you know, I jotted down a few things last night. And first off, I really think that the veterans that the Wings have relied on in the past are becoming unreliable. You know, first off, Pavel Datsyuk, if he sticks to his guns and says that, okay, he's going to Russia, well, you won't have to deal with Pavel anymore, even though he's had some, the Magic Man produced some magic years when he was with the Wings, but his production has decreased. Let's just call it like it is. Same thing with Henrik Zetterberg. Same thing with Zetterberg, okay? They have not put up the numbers, and I really think that you have to think about, you know, looking at those veterans and moving them back in the line, maybe the fourth line in minutes. And don't get me wrong, I love Zetterberg. He's an elite player. But in his waning years, it just shows that his production is just not there anymore. And I think they're trying to force a puzzle piece that isn't working anymore. So for me, that's got to be a move that happens. And if Pavel Datsyuk does go to Russia, I really believe that the Wings have to sign a big name to fill that hole that Pav is going to leave for you. They gotta make some moves here. They got to get some big talent, some big-name talent to this team in order to cultivate what they already have in this young talent. And again, you know, sometimes you got to just throw those young guys into the fire, okay? What I would do, if I'm Jeff Blashill looking at and evaluating how this team played this year, I'm looking at my young talent and saying, okay, I've got some pieces here for this team. I mean, we mentioned, you know, Justin Ablocator, who is a pretty solid player. Love him. Dylan Larkins, love that 19-year-old kid. Those guys, I think, have to be moved up in the line and get more minutes because it's that experience that's going to bode well for the Wings. I just think right now that in the lineup that Jeff played, it didn't work to their factor, if you ask me.
Yeah, if there's a free agent out there, I say you go and get them. I say that, you know, obviously you put down your poker chips if you think you have a chance to immediately rebound, recuperate that talent, and compete for a championship next year. That's perfect. But now the streak's at 25. I mean, the streak going to 26 isn't going to make anybody any happier. 27, if these are the results, who cares?
I mean, eventually, who cares about a first, even if you get in the playoffs, who cares because you're going out in the first round?
Exactly. Right. Eventually, you have to get back to Hockey Town USA. And you do that by building on this young talent that you have. And many of the veterans who aren't even the stars of this team, like Brad Richards, and players who are just constant strongholds in the team, they play their role, they get good minutes, they do their job. They're old too. Mm-hmm. So the Red Wings have young talent. The Griffins have a great youth system and farm for the Red Wings to harvest talent from. But at the same time, you're not going to get to the level you want to be if you stay with this team. So if you can get a superstar, that's fantastic. But if not, it might be time to tank for a year or two, get players in the draft, and build on this youthful image that'll lead you once again to Hockey Town USA.
Well, I don't think – I don't know if I would use the word tank. I wouldn't use the word tank. What I would do is I would look at the talent that you currently have on the team. And I think that Blasio needs to figure out how to make Gustav Nyquist and Tatar more effective, if you ask me. Or look at those two players and say, all right, maybe we can deal a package here that will send maybe Nyquist and Tatar, you know, in a trade for a big name to bring in some good talent. Because, again, if you're going to get that talent and make some big moves here, you got to give up some talent. So even though I love Tatar, I love Nyquist, but their production in the playoffs was not up to par. Well, and I think they're expendable. They're expendable. There are many pieces here that are expendable, I think, Isaac. And you have to take those certain risks, I think.
Well, and you saw Tatar last night, and this was the biggest indicator of the series and the end of the season that he's had, is that he had a 3-on-2 shot at goal from the side.
Right.
When the puck was actually dumped off to him already, and he chose to pass it up. He went for a pass again, and I forgot to which teammate, but it was delivered behind, and it totally killed the opportunity. It was one of the Red Wings' 5 best chances to score in that game, mm-hmm. and he didn't even take a shot. It's okay if you miss. It's okay if the shot gets blocked. Ben Bishop was in impregnable form. I mean, he was unimpregnable. He was just unbelievable last night, but at the same time, you've got to make him work, and Tatar, he was just unconfident, and that's a sign of the series.
Yeah, exactly. And, harping on those young guns as well. I mean, I brought up, Justin Ablicator. I love Justin Ablicator. I love Dylan Larkin. Andreas Athanasiou, love him as well. You know, those kids are the future, and I think they need more minutes. And also, this is a big point I want to make here as well. You got to stop, fumbling around with who your goalie is, all right? You have to pick a guy and let that guy shine. And right now, clearly, in my opinion, it's Peter Mrazek. You got to stop with this old Jimmy Howard, Mrazek, or Jimmy Howard, storyline, okay? And again, hey, if you have to, give up Jimmy Howard for something. You know what I mean? Yep. But right now, you have to start defining who you are as a club. And I think that Mrazek, has shown, now again, he has some ups and downs, but what goalie does it have up and downs? You know what I mean? Stick with Mrazek. I think he's your guy moving forward, and put some trust in him. Simple as that.
So, I agree 100%. And yeah. I think Jimmy Howard, the thing is, you've got 2 top 15 goalkeepers. You could certainly deal one, get a little bit of value in return. And Mrazek, he's 24. The guy's
young
going
kid.
To have growing pains, but the way he's going to develop to his full potential and the way that you will get the most out of him and the team is if you stick with him. If you give him an identity, if you give him some confidence and assurance that this is your spot. And you see, whenever he makes a mistake, it's now you're out of the lineup. That's not a way for a young kid to grow.
Right, exactly. I totally agree with you. All right, folks, what do you think about the Detroit Red Wings? What must happen this offseason in order to improve this team and not just become a first round and done playoff squad, okay? Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Later on in the hour, we're going to give you guys a preview of tonight's Game 3 between the Detroit Pistons and Cleveland Cavaliers. But after the break, we are going to play last night's current sports TV sit-down with Michigan State women's basketball star Brandi Agee. Trust me, you do not want to miss it. If you missed current sports TV last night, you get to hear that interview right here live on our airwaves. You do not want to miss it. Trust me. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, we are taking your calls throughout this hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Ray from Indiana on the line. Ray, how you doing, my friend? Happy Friday.
Skipper, have a nice weekend, okay?
Oh, you got it. You got it. Same to you.
Hey, I wanted to talk a little bit about Johnny Manziel.
Yes, go ahead. Johnny Football.
You know, I can't believe the people that waste talent like that and just, I mean, I got a son that's an alcoholic. My son-in-law's a druggie. I know how these people do. They just don't know when to give their heart to God and get away from the devil. This guy here, he just over and over and over, he's had so many chances, and he really believes he's going to be back in the NFL. How is he going to be back in the NFL when he can't go from day to day functioning what he does? His dad said this guy's going to die before his next birthday. His own dad told him, said that.
Right. And well, the thing with me is when evaluating Johnny Manziel, first off, I'm rooting for the kid because I really hope he gets help. And, you know, he gets back to some form of just consistency in his life, because right now his life just seems to be everywhere. He's partying left and right. He's, you know, hanging out with the wrong people. He's got the wrong people around him from what I'm seeing from the outside looking in. And again, he was so talented. I mean, you look at what he did in college for Texas A&M, and he was just an absolutely stunning athlete. And he goes and gets drafted for the Cleveland Browns, and there's a lot of hoopla in the land, as I like to call it, out in Cleveland there, because LeBron James, it's the same year that LeBron James decided to go from Miami to Cleveland. And all of a sudden, you see Johnny Manziel, you know, of course, he doesn't start right away. And, you know, you just start to see him hanging out with the wrong people. Again, going out and partying and not adhering to discipline within the organization. And now, again, you know, Nike dropped him, I saw, with the sponsorship. He's no longer with the Browns. He's searching for an NFL team, but no one's going to sign the kid unless he does get help. So I don't know. Maybe we've seen – do you think we've seen the last of Johnny Manziel in a football uniform?
Yes, I think. I'm afraid so.
I think so
as well. He's got two agents that signed contracts that told him he had to go in and get help, yeah. And he won't get help even when they rejected him and took him away.
It's really unfortunate. I think this is a situation in which Johnny Manziel just has no guidance. I don't know. He has no mentors. He has no leadership around him to help him out. I don't know. I think he's just hanging out with the wrong people, Ray, which is very unfortunate.
That's it. You can't hang with those people. You do, they're going to drag you down, and he just doesn't understand that.
Exactly.
He thinks it's just all one fun party after party, but you got to be dedicated. You can't keep doing that over and over.
And he goes, and I'm sure he has a few people telling him that, but it just goes in one ear out the other. Really unfortunate stuff, Ray.
Hey, what's this I heard on the TV the other day? It's something about John Beilein had some kind of camp like Jim Harbaugh or something, and it didn't work out, or what was that about?
No, I didn't hear about that. That's a new one to me. Did you hear anything about that, Isaac?
Have not, no.
Well, I'm not sure.
I just heard the very end of it on TV. I was just wondering if you'd heard anything.
No, I have no. I haven't heard anything about a camp.
Have you interviewed him lately?
No, I haven't talked to John. Let's see here. I want to say since last basketball season when, of course, Michigan State played Michigan. And that's the last time I chatted with John. Of course, it was just about the X's and O's pertaining to that particular game. John's a good guy, though. You know I'm a John Beilein fan. I like John. He's a good basketball mind.
He's a good man if you want to say he's a fibber and a liar.
Okay. All right.
I have several comments. You ever see that man again? Ask him if he remembers Ray Berger, the one who gives him the chocolates and hails the Victor's ink pens, and he lied about calling me back.
All right, Ray. Well, I think about it. Thank you, Ray. Ray from Indiana. You know where that was going, right, Isaac? And Isaac just sitting behind the glass like, all right, when is it coming? When is it coming? And then boom, goes the dynamite on John Beilein or anything pertaining to Michigan at the end of the call.
Yeah, exactly. When you
oh my gosh.
And Ray, you know I'm a John Beilein fan. I made the signal. You could have seen it probably on the live stream, but I was like, here it comes. Like, you know what's coming. The fibber, the liar, the horrible person who is John Beilein.
Yeah, I poked the bear there, definitely, without a doubt. All right, let's go to a current sports TV recap from last night. If you didn't get a chance to catch current sports TV, boy, oh boy, was it a fun interview. I got the chance to sit down with actually Brandi Agee, who's a star for the Michigan State women's basketball team. She was a part of that three-headed monster for Susie Merchant's team this year that consisted of Ariel Powers, who's now in the WNBA with the Dallas Wings, as well as Tori Jankowska. And Brandi really flourished, just having a healthy year, you know, improving her jump shot. I mean, it's just amazing to sit down with her because, one, she's a great interview because she's so candid and she's so open about everything, which I absolutely love. And, you know, it's really interesting to see her journey to where she is now because she had not one but two ACL injuries one on one knee and another one on the other. So just an incredible comeback for her, and I'm really wishing her well. So here's a snippet from last night's chat. And, of course, I first started pretty open-ended asking her how in the world she fell in love with the game of basketball.
Well, I don't know. When I was younger, I just had a basketball in my hand, and I just knew, like, this is the sport I wanted to play. So
that was it. What age? Yeah.
I was in the second grade.
Second grade?
Mm-hmm. When I first picked up a basketball, and, you know, I used to play in the backyard with my brothers and stuff like that. And I just, I don't know, I would just always compete with them. And, you know, this is my little sister, she's a hooper, and all that. So,
right.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, it just came to me, and I just fell in love with it.
Now, you know, when you find out you're good at something, you know, there's that moment where you have an epiphany, like, oh, my goodness, I guess I am pretty good at this thing. When did your wake-up call come when you said, okay, I'm pretty good at this basketball thing?
Well, my middle school athletic director, she basically said, like, I don't know, I was good at defense when I was younger. I could not shoot the basketball to save my life. Like, really? I was terrible.
Right.
But, I mean, I was good on defense, so, like, every team wanted me, so they're like, yeah, she could play on the team, just play defense, you know, don't shoot the ball, Brandy, but you can play defense.
Lockdown D, there you go.
Yeah, but, I mean, once I got to play with all girls in seventh grade, because, you know, it switched over,
right.
And that's when I worked more on my offense, and, yeah, everybody was like, Brandy, you can be good, you can go farther with this, so that's now, when I just knew.
Yeah, and you went to Cash Tech, as I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
came to Michigan State. Now, I want to go back just a little bit here, because I just recently, like literally just recently found out that you were actually a Penn State commit. Is that
yes,
right? Kind of take us through that, because you commit to Penn State and then just change your mind and say, hey, Sparta, here I come. What happened during that time?
Well, you know, it was my first time going through the recruiting process, and you know, I was young-minded, and I just, you know, went on my visit to Penn State. I loved the campus, and I loved the coaching staff and everything, the players. And I don't know, I just got caught up in the hype, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going here.
Right.
And I didn't think, like, I have four other visits to go to. So I'm like, oh, crap. I went home, talked to my mom. Like, my mom, like, come on, Brandy. Like, you need to go on more visits to see other schools and see variety. And my next visit was Michigan State. And I came here. And, you know, I love the campus, love the coaching, everything. And then it was close to home, too, and my mom is, like, my biggest fan.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very important. And then I went on my other, you know, three visits. And then at the end of the process, I was like, Michigan State is the school to be. That's where I want to, you know, take my career farther. So.
And you have certainly had an interesting career, to say the least. Now,
the
reason
you.
Why I use that word is because when you first came here to Michigan State,
mm-hmm.
your freshman year, 5 games into your freshman year,
mm-hmm.
you tear your ACL.
Yes.
What was that like? What happened on that particular play, that moment?
We were in practice, and I was playing defense. I slid over too quick, and I heard a pop, fell on the floor, and, yeah, it was over.
What's that feel? I'm knock on wood. Yeah. I've never torn an ACL.
You don't want
but
to.
What's that feeling like? And did you know there was an ACL injury when it happened?
Yes, I did. When I heard the pop, I just knew it was something wrong. Because, I mean, if you hear something pop in your knee, you're like, okay.
That don't sound right.
That's not something good. That's not supposed to happen. But, yeah, when that happened, I was like,
the pain has to be, like, on a level 10.
It didn't hurt.
It didn't hurt.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't hurt to tear your ACL.
It didn't
that's
hurt.
That's good to know.
You can walk. I mean, you can walk on it still. I mean, it was swollen. Like, it was huge.
Right.
But, I mean, you can still walk on it. And, but.
Okay, yeah. So you come back from that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then guess what, folks? She does it again, but to the other knee.
Yeah.
How did that occur, and when did that occur? So that was your freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
The offseason goes by, and you recuperate, and you get back healthy.
Mm-hmm.
When did the second one happen?
It happened in the open gym in the summertime.
So both 9 games here.
Yep.
Didn't
games.
Occur in a game. It just occurred both just practicing and, mm-hmm. and open gym.
Yeah, just unlucky, I guess. But, yeah, I was in open gym, and I did a Euro step. And I heard something like crunch in my knee. And I'm like, oh, God, what is that? So I like fell on the floor again. I don't know. I called Luann, which is our athletic trainer.
Right.
And she came there, looked at it, did the little ACL check. And then she was like, oh, you didn't tear it. You're good. I'm thinking it's just my hamstring or something like
right.
that. But she was like, just to be safe, we're going to get an MRI. So we go get the MRI the next morning. And
you found out you tore it.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, Brandy, and we chatted briefly before we took the air, you said that you did reach a point where you evaluated your basketball career and said, I don't know if basketball is for me. What was that time like for you, and how did you sort of crawl yourself out of that down and out mentality?
I mean, just my love for the sport. Like, I really love basketball, and I really want to take it farther beyond college. And I don't know, it was just God, my family, the coaching staff still had faith in me to say, like, Brandy, you're going to recover from this. You're going to still be a great player coming back. And, like, that just motivated me more to, you know, stick with it and just keep going hard. Just stay rehabbing. Just come back stronger. And, you know, everybody had their setbacks. And, you know, you just have to be strong mentally and just.
Yeah. Definitely. I know that will just has to be to a point where nobody can break it. And it takes a while, though. I mean, if you had two injuries, it's like, oh, my gosh. And you know what? Your roommate was Ariel Powers.
Yes, she
now,
was.
We highlighted last week on Current Sports that Ariel Powers is now taking her talents to the WNBA. Mm-hmm. She was drafted in the top five to the Dallas Wings, I believe.
Yep.
And she just recently signed a deal with Nike. So congratulations to Ariel Powers. It was a pleasure covering her. But you and Ariel were roommates during her time in college. And Ariel kind of went through the same, you know, process that you went through. Because when Ariel first came here, she actually tore her Achilles.
Yes, she did.
In the year 2012. Mm-hmm. So the same time period where you had your first knee injury.
Yeah.
What was it like? What were those conversations away from the basketball court like? If you guys are sitting up there, you got a busted knee, her Achilles is messed up. I mean, what were those conversations like to sort of encourage each other?
I mean, me and her literally was like, look, we're going to come back next year. We're going to be good. Like, this is just a setback to make us stronger as players. And, you know, we just love the sport. Me and her both love the sport just as much. So we just like, you know what? This is nothing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, everybody get injured or get a little knickknack or whatever on their knee or something like that. But you just have to have that mindset, like, we're going to come back stronger. But
what inspired you about the tenure of Powers? Because I got to be honest, Brandon, I let this be known countless times, that Ariel Powers has to be the best women's basketball player I've ever seen in person. Mm-hmm. And she has had such a decorated career. Again, she broke the record for, you know, when it comes to the Michigan State women's basketball team, when it comes to double-doubles throughout her career. Just an unbelievable player. What was that relationship like between you two? And what was it like just watching her? What did you learn from her?
I learned a lot. You know, just sitting on the bench and watching her when she had that outstanding sophomore year coming back, watching that, I literally was like, I want to do that next year. You know what I mean? I didn't do as well this year, but, you know, seeing that and seeing, you know, how she came from that injury and seeing, like, how she, you know, didn't let that affect the way she played. So I really took that, like, that's motivation, you know. That's somebody, you know, wanting to get to their dream, so.
And there's also a moment that motivated you. And I want to go back to the 2013-14 season. You guys were hosting Nebraska at the Breslin Center. And it's a moment that you constantly think about because the Nebraska Cornhuskers were instructed by their coaching staff not to guard you.
Yes.
Because they believed that you didn't have a jump shot and didn't have an extensive offensive game.
Mm-hmm.
When you got word about that, first off, where did that word of mouth come from? When did you find out that Nebraska was instructed not to guard you?
Well, Susie actually told me. She said, Brandy, just be aware, they might not guard you this game, so just don't take it as a negative. Take that as a positive, you know, just still play your game, you know. Don't rush a shot, you know, just play your game, just play a rhythm. So
that had to rub you the wrong way. That ticked you off, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Why?
Very much. Because I'm a good player. I believe I'm a great player, and I can shoot, you know, I can do just as much as anybody else, and for them not to guard me, it was just like, wow, like, are y'all serious? So that game, I really had to, you know, show myself, like, you're going to have to guard me the next time you play me, so.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, that offseason.
I actually had, like, a career high against them because they didn't guard me. So I'm like, look, you're going to guard me next year, this year, whenever. You're going to guard me next time you play, so.
That's called the eye of the tiger right there, folks, okay? Yeah. Now, that offseason, Brandy, I mean, you worked tirelessly. Mm-hmm. And Susie Merchant actually called it one of the biggest offensive offseason improvements that she's ever seen throughout her tenure here at Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this past year, you averaged 11.4 points per game, a little over five boards per game. And then you also shot 43% from the field and 40% from the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do in the offseason? You had to live in the gym in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I was just so mentally, like, this is going to be my year. This is my comeback year. You know, I wanted to prove myself this year that, you know, even though I had these two knee injuries, I'm still a good player. That doesn't affect the way that I play. So I stayed in the gym a lot. You know, I worked on my shot a lot. I mean, it showed this year. So, I was just more confident in myself and, you know, just confident to come back and, you know, show that I'm a good player.
So, Brandi, you've seen your roommate take her talents to the WNBA with Dallas. Mm-hmm. And also Jasmine Hines. Mm-hmm. She signed a free agent contract with the LA Sparks, I know. Mm-hmm. Is your goal the WNBA?
Absolutely, yes.
Now, I want to throw this out at you because doing some research, I saw that the average rookie salary for those that enter the WNBA is around $36,000.
Yeah.
When you think about that, Brandi, because what a lot of people do, when they go to WNBA, and I don't know if Ariel is going to do this or not, but in the offseason, they go overseas to play to supplement not getting paid a lot in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. Does it discourage you at all when you look at those financial numbers and evaluate your future, you know, in basketball?
When you look at it, this is the sport that you love to play. So, I mean, like, you know, not getting paid a lot is just like, all right, but you still want to play the sport because that's what you love to do, you know? So, I mean, you can get endorsements, obviously, but, you know, yeah. Definitely, if you go to WNBA, you're going to want to play overseas to get more money. So
right. So that's your dream is WNBA.
Yes.
And you would like to play overseas in the offseason as well.
Yes.
Because ball is life, right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it is. Ball is life.
Now, you know, having a discussion, since you and Ariel are pretty close, did you have a discussion with her at all before she made that jump to forgo her final year of eligibility to the WNBA? You didn't talk to her at all?
I didn't. No.
Okay, but you have had a conversation with her since being drafted. What was that conversation like?
Well, I just asked her how it was. You know, I was like congratulating. I'm like, Ariel, I'm so proud of you. You know, and then that's when she told me, you know, how I don't know. Like she told me about her little endorsement deal from Nike and stuff like that. So that was like something. I'm like, wow, Ariel, like that's good. You know, like that's
hey,
a good accomplishment.
Some Nike commercials,
right? I'm like, girl, give me some gear, but.
I mean, Jordan, what's
seriously,
up?
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. I was so proud of her, you know, just talking to her, you know, she was telling me about the experience there and like how, I don't know, like you would want to sit there and just be drafted, you know, like that's just an honor, you know. And then, yeah, it's something that you really dream about, you know, as a woman college player. And, you know, I'm just so proud of her. Like, I don't know what to say. Can't explain, you
You're
know?
Emotional. I can tell. I can definitely tell, Brandi. All right, before we get to the 12th man here, I got to ask, when you evaluate your game, are there any basketball players current or in the past that you really look up to and admire?
Yes, absolutely. Paul George is my favorite basketball player.
Really? How did that come about?
I don't know. I just love his game. I don't know just how competitive he is and... You know, he is a shooter, so, I mean, that's what I do, too.
Right, there
so,
you go. I hear
you know,
that.
I try to, like, learn his moves and stuff like that, so, yeah.
Definitely. All right. Well, we may have to play some pickup, all right?
All right.
I got invited to actually go out to the Breslin Center a few weeks ago. Darren Weiss, our current sports PA, former current sports PA, he's with the MSU scout team. Mm-hmm. And I walk in the gym, and who do I see? I see Lexi Gussert, Tori Jankowska, and Jasmine Hines. I'm saying, I didn't sign up for this, all right? But you are well on your way, Brandi, and I'm looking forward to seeing your next season. I know those numbers are going to be even better. Oh, was that fantastic or what? Again, Michigan State women's basketball star Brandi Agee. If you missed last night's Current Sports TV sit down with her, all you have to do is simply go to video.wkar.org and check it out online. Well, 5 minutes left in the show. Let's do it. Let's hit a brief break, Isaac. Come right back just to change up the mood a bit. And when we come back, we will close out the show with Reflection Friday. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. All right, now we are in the closing minutes here on WKAR's Current Sports. Man, time flies when you are having fun, and we certainly have been having a ton of fun here on the show throughout the weekend. I got to remind you all, folks, that, again, tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. is the Michigan State spring game. That's right, Green versus Wright. And I tell you what, you can make, at least you can make one assumption from Saturday's game. Michigan State is going to win. I guess we can make that prediction at least, right? And a really quick question, Isaac. What are you looking forward to the most when looking at the spring game tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm excited to see Donnie Corley in full action for
course,
the first time.
And right?
I think that's a popular pick, but at the same time, what else are you going to necessarily look forward to? It is a spring game. Everything you take has to be with a grain of salt. So I think you look forward to the freshman class, seeing what's coming in, and you can just see the pure athleticism and talent of these guys.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing that quarterback battle as always. Of course, I think it comes down to two names. I think Messiah DeWeaver will redshirt this year. I get a feeling there. But seeing Damian Terry and Tyler O'Connor, I'm really looking forward to seeing that battle between both of them in that game. So, and of course, Donnie Corley, the defensive line as well, with many new pieces coming in there. All right, with 3 minutes left, and each and every Friday here on WKAR's Current Sports, we love to conclude the week by reflecting a bit on the week that was here on the show and beyond, and maybe even bringing up a few stories that we didn't get a chance to discuss. Here we go, Reflection Friday. All right, I want to start off for my reflection here just to talk about the Cavaliers and the Pistons. And again, for the Wings as well, I mean, 25 straight playoff appearances dating back to 1990. Again, the longest postseason streak in North American sports history. That's pretty admirable, without a doubt. And great run for the Red Wings, at least just getting to the playoffs this year, because it looked bleak there for a minute. But we just talked about their retooling. But again, seeing the Pistons in the playoffs for the first time in 7 years is pretty remarkable. Again, the series returns to the Palace tonight. And, you know, I'm just glad to see the Pistons back in the playoffs. You guys know I'm a big Pistons fan. And, again, they have to guard the Cavaliers at the arc, okay? If you look at the Cavaliers' Game 2 performance, again, it was a record-tying performance beyond the arc, going 20 of 38. That's 53% from three-point territory. That can't happen. So, congratulations to the Pistons just for getting there, though. But again, I'm sticking to my guns here, Isaac. I still think they win two games in this series. What you got for us?
I think they got the first one tonight. I think they do lose Game 4 at home, though, and then the preceding Game 5. My reflection Friday is Conor McGregor. How he played UFC like a fiddle.
He did.
Got everybody scared, everybody all worried, and suddenly he comes back. He says, "I don't feel like doing these promotional activities. You guys need me more than I need you. I'm going to make my money. I'm going to do what I want. And we're going to have a UFC 200.
That's
Conor smart
McGregor.
Marketing.
Yeah, that's Conor McGregor for you. And Dana White threatening him. He's like, "Hey, if he doesn't say anything today, we're going to have big problems." So it was hilarious. And it was all propagated by social media. Just one tweet sent the fight world in fire. So, yeah, I'm glad he's not retiring. I'll say that. And he's still slated, I guess, for 200, UFC 200?
That's what I think, if not UFC 205.
All right, and of course, the big Prince news. Rest in peace, Prince. Have a great weekend, ladies and gents, boys and girls. You haven't listened to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Be easy, people.